الحمد لله وأفضل الصلاة وتم السلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we have an opportunity to hear some information regarding something that is very lacking in the Ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. We're very good at eating, alhamdulillah, and finding the local and the nearest burger joint these days a big thing. And everybody wants to find out the latest burger, the biggest burger, the challenges. Now they have challenges now, you see. Food challenges, how much you can eat within 25 minutes or to an hour, etc. And you get a free t-shirt and free meal, whatever it may be. And literally, we are actually eating ourselves to the grave. And I must say this before, that one in three Asians, by the time they're 45, will have diabetes type 2. If they carry on with the same diet that they are now. Lots of high saturated fat and lots of high sugars. Not just only Asians, but I've seen like the Somalian community as well. Very high carbohydrate diets, which are high sugars as well. So you're not only flooding your bloodstream with glucose from food, but you're also, on top of that, washing it down with fizzy drinks that are created to make you sick. If you do your own research, Coca-Cola, the way they make it, you are supposed to vomit. The way the amount of sugar and salt inside the can, it should make you vomit. But I put a chemical inside it to prevent you from vomiting. And if you research Coca-Cola hacks on YouTube, you will see that it's a good toilet cleaner. It's a good rust remover. It's a good painkiller for topical on insect bites and things like this. And in America, they carry gallons of it in the ambulances. Why? Because it cleans blood very well. So, and then we drink this. Okay, we all like our fizzy drinks. I like my Dr. Pepper too. But I have a cheat day, which is on a Friday. And I'm very conscious about what I drink, without feeling guilty, because guilt is the biggest emotional booster that makes you want to eat and drink more. Now, the non-Muslims, when they go into stress, they drink alcohol, go into drugs, promiscuity, whatever they may do. We Muslims, we don't do that. We just gorge ourselves with food and fizzy drinks and get a high from the food, because we eat so much of the food and the sugars. So I must stress to you though today that I'm not a doctor or a GP or a surgeon, but I have extensive knowledge in nutrition, in psychotherapy, regarding nutrition in psychotherapy in sensitive people that come up with bulimia nervosa and things like this. They have wrong eating habits, and health, etc., which I qualify in. So whatever information I propagate for you today, it's information to help you. Okay, nothing is guaranteed, okay? Shifa min Allah, and the cure is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's up to a responsible Muslim to go back after this and do your own research in health. Okay? So it's important to understand what nutrition is. Nutrition is about providing the body with nutrients, vitamins and minerals that the body needs to help heal itself and to grow. So when couples come to me for marriage counseling, one of the questions I ask them is, do you communicate? And they say, well, yeah, we talk. I said, that's not what I asked. Do you get across what you want to get? We all get caught up in non-communicative matters, that it's very difficult to communicate to each other. The same way when people come to me for nutrition or hijama or general health and ask them, do you nourish yourself? Well, of course, I eat. I said, that's not what I asked you. Are you conscious about the food that's on your plate? Is it nourishing you? Or are you just eating to fill up the gap in your stomach and feel better? Because you feel that you just full up, stopping the pangs of hunger. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you must only eat enough to keep your back straight. You know, when you're hungry, you seem like, you know, your stomach, you know, nobody in this country gets that kind of hunger. But in his time, people hardly ate meat and hardly ate the way we eat now. So they're always hungry. Alhamdulillah, here you can open the fridge and it's like a shop, you know, a chicken shop in there, or you go next door and get pizza or whatever, there's food everywhere. And because we take it for granted, we just eat. And I remember seeing a saying somewhere, it's written on the wall, that if you don't make time for health, then you must make time for sickness. Then sickness will make time for you, yani, within the sickness. It's like he who fails to prepare must prepare to fail. This kind of principle. And we Muslims have the sunnah way of eating. For example, the Prophet ﷺ said that the believer eats from one stomach and the non-believer from seven stomachs. Meaning with greed and just eating, just for the sake of eating. And I'm sure that sometimes we eat somewhere and we go somewhere else and someone says, oh, come and eat this a little bit. And you eat that. Then you go somewhere else and say, oh, come and eat a little bit, brother. And you eat. You end up eating so much and you gorge yourself. And that's very, very unhealthy. So, anybody here has diabetes? Type 2? So you're on metformin? You're on tablets or you're taking it with diet?
Diet.
And yourself? What?
Just diet.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So the doctor who's not really a legal drug pusher in the sense, because that's what I call doctors, legal drug pushers. They have their place with all you doctors out there who watch this video and say, what is it the brother talking about? Legal drug pushers. And that's what I call them. When brothers come to me who are GPs, I say, you're a legal drug pusher. He said, well, how can you say that? I said, well, don't tell me you prescribe medicine. You do not prescribe medicine. You prescribe drugs for the pharmaceutical companies. And the drugs do have their place. But every single drug they prescribe has a side effect. If anything happens to you, has a disclaimer inside, you should have read the small print that tells you what are the side effects of that tablet. And some of them are very, very dire. Headaches and depression and can cause diabetes. You know, other for example, statins for cholesterol, for example, can give you depression and then mental problems, mind problems, and can cause type 2 diabetes. There's research that without enough sufficient vitamin D3 could help that you get diabetes type 2. So it's very vital that you do your research. Don't just eat, but recognize what you're eating. Now, and I would never say to you change your diet. I would say to you change your lifestyle, which includes your prayers, praying on time, praying in the masjid. If they're lacking, then you have to fix that. So you are a machine that requires mental, spiritual, and physical stimulation and input for that machine to run properly. These days, people are suffering with a lot of mental illnesses because why? There's something wrong with the mind? No, in the Western sense, yes, because psychology is the knowledge of the mind. But the reason the mind is sick, because the heart is sick. And Islamic psychology and psychotherapy is this. You can't say Islamic psychology, because psychology literally means knowledge of the mind, but it should be heartology, you know, qalbology. That's a nice word, isn't it? Qalbology. Knowledge of the heart. And it's very, very important that we understand this. That the heart gets sick, as the Prophet said in the hadith, that there is a lump of flesh in the body, that if it becomes sick, the whole body becomes sick. If it becomes pure, the whole body becomes pure. And that's the heart. كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So it's unless this is vital to understand this, that we Muslims have to work on the heart. You have to nourish the heart. The nutrients of the heart is what? Adhkar and salah and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, verily the remembrance of Allah do the believers find rest. That we have to, when you do istighfar, say 100 times, don't you breathe, don't you go, that happens to me. When I get stressed out, and you do your dhikr, and you do istighfar, etc., you take a sigh, and you just feel just relaxed, because the heart has not had nutrients to deal with it. Nothing wrong with the mind. I mean, there is obviously some issues that people do have that are serious issues, psychiatric issues. But that aside, the general populace and ourselves, we get mind sick because we get heart sick. And it's important to nourish the heart with the right nourishment, which is dhikr, not music. As one scholar said, muzak. Instead of in Prozac, you have muzak, you know, which mongs you out, for example. And all these tablets you take for depression, the majority of the input, the ingredient, is fluoride. And fluoride has a dumbing effect. It makes you listless. It makes you apathetic. Can't be bothered, you know. And Hitler was going to use the sodium fluoride and put it in the water supply to America to what? Mong you out. But who's putting the water supply now? The water supply you're drinking now. The tap water contains sodium fluoride. And they say to you, oh, it's good for your teeth. And there's a lot of research out there, The sodium fluoride, it does much more problematic for the body. If you want good fluoride, you drink green tea. But the water companies, they collect all the water from the sewage as well, from the toilet, all of it, and they filter as much as they can. They put in potassium permanganate, chlorine, or bleach, sodium hypochlorite, and sodium fluoride, and they sell it to you for 20,000% profit. And you find out why you become sick and infertile, and affecting the physical aspect of the man and the woman. Don't take my word for it. This is all research. So whatever I say to you today, I've researched it, but I can't go into it because I haven't got enough time. So whatever I say to you, write it down and go and do your own research. It's vital. I don't use tap water for cooking or drinking. I use it for washing and cleaning. If I can get away with that, I could do that as well, but it's too expensive. So it's important. So diabetes basically is when you have flooded your body with sugar, your blood glucose levels are high, then the insulin is produced by the pancreas so that the insulin can take the glucose and put it into the cells. But sometimes there's not enough insulin, the body doesn't produce enough insulin, or you get insulin sensitivity. Okay? And then what happens is, after it has done that, generally speaking, and then there's more insulin in the body, it acts like telling the body to store fat. So, and you don't put fat on because you're eating saturated fat or fatty things. You're getting fat because of the sugar, which spikes your blood, increases your blood sugar levels. So it's necessary for the body to produce a lot more insulin than necessary. If you ate normally, if you nourished yourself normally, then the levels of insulin that is produced by the pancreas is enough just to take the glucose and put it into your cells to do the job. And if you have too much flood of insulin and the body can't handle it, then it goes into this mode whereby you get diabetes and the kidneys have to take over as well. And most diabetics, majority of diabetics, feel very dehydrated. Why? In order for the kidneys to remove the glucose through the kidney and through the urinary tract, it has to use a lot of water. And if you're not a person that drinks a lot of water, nay, I would suggest you drink a lot of coconut water, it rehydrates you better, then you'll get, the body will start taking water from your brain, with a lot of water. So you get headaches. So it eats sugar and produces acid, hence the term aggressive cancer. But to reduce that is to keep your body alkaline, which means lots of green vegetables. Cut down the sugar, cut down the carbohydrates. You know, no bread, no pasta, no potatoes. Rice, okay, 150 to 200 grams of cooked rice per day. If you feel a bit tired because there's not enough carbohydrates coming in to give you the energy, then you have a banana. If you find yourself putting a bit of weight on, even though you're not eating enough carbohydrates, eat a bit more rice. So a bit more energy to burn the fat. It's about knowing the nutrition. It's about knowing this and researching it and knowing yourself. You go to the doctor and you think he knows you. They don't know everything. You go to the doctor sometimes. If what he knows, he knows. What he doesn't, he goes, I don't know. It could be like this. It could be like that. Well, if you don't know, who knows then? And they've only been around 200 years, near enough. So who's the alternative medics? Them or the traditional people before the doctors came, they were dying. They didn't know how to treat themselves. They treated them because they ate natural foods. No processed foods, all these E-numbers and whatever. Natural foods they ate, which the body can utilize in a good way. Apple cider vinegar, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. It's a true saying. An apple cider vinegar is not like what you buy from like Tesco's, the Clear and all the Turkish shops or the other countries' vinegar, apple cider. It is apple cider vinegar, but it's not the one that you should take for health. The health one is unpasteurized, it's raw. It's straight from the apples, straight into the bottle and sold to you. It's organic with the mother. The mother is these, the bits in it, which are like good enzymes, minerals, etc., vitamins that you need. And even though it's 5% acetic acid, it's over 60% potassium. So it hydrates you as well. And it helps balance out your acidic stomach. So I'm balancing my acid reflux. I'm balancing my acid problem in my stomach with more acid. But it works. It works. Apple cider vinegar is good stuff. It's high. It's not medicine, but it's high-end nutrition. It helps balance the blood sugar. It helps remove fat. It helps balance out the cholesterol in the body. It's very important. I won't go too much more into meningitis because... supplements, for example. Do you think you get your daily vitamin and mineral intake from the food that you eat after you've cooked it and killed it? Once you've cooked the food, that's it, it's done. That's why now you have this new fad that's been out for a long time, raw foods. Who's got a juicer at home here? A juicer? Three of you. That's cool. Everyone should have a juicer at home. Everyone should have a juicer at home. Every Muslim, at least, they should know about health. And you juice every few days, make a liter of juice. You know, 1 or 2 liters a week. And you drink half a glass, 1 glass a day.
What type of juicer do you recommend?
A slow juicer. Because of the research, you've got ordinary juicers with a centrifugal juicer, which spin it really fast and oxidize the juice. And they said that it reduces its nutrient content. But a slow juicer crushes it. So there's so much oxygenation happening. So you get more of the nutrients. Allahu alam. I've got a slow juicer. You can buy it for 60 quid and up to 300, 400 pounds. Easy. I'm sure everyone can afford 60 pounds, 50 quid to buy a juicer for the health. Just cut down on the rubbish you're eating and save the money and buy it for the health. And if you were to just juice every day and have some carbohydrates and a bit of protein, you're safe. You don't. In order for us to get vegetables down our gullet every day to be healthy, you need about this much. And that's painful. I mean, no one can eat this much vegetable. So juice this much and you get about a litre and a half, and that'll last you for a few days. You know? If it becomes bad, that means you're not drinking it enough. It takes about 3 days for it to go bad. But if you put some lemon juice in it, some vitamin C or ascorbic acid, you can buy it in powder form, then it gets a preservative and you get your vitamin C as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there that you can really research and really look after yourself. And Islam teaches us about prevention. But these that we brainwashed, if I get sick, subconsciously, you don't say this, but subconsciously you say it. It's like the person who says, I say, Brachi, smoking is haram. And everything's haram, but what can we do? That kind of attitude. So the same attitude we have is, if I get sick, I go to the doctor, he gives me medicine, I'll be cured. No, but everything, you go to the doctor and you say to them, I've got this issue, that issue. Okay, take this. You come back 6 weeks later, it didn't work. Okay, try this. Well, what am I, a guinea pig? You're giving me drugs. And the philosophy they have, when you say to them, when I've spoken to doctors and GPs and legal drug pushers, as I say, well, every single thing has a side effect. Yeah, but the good outweighs the bad. I said, if I gave you a glass of juice and I said to you it's got 0.0001% cyanide in it, would you drink it? Of course you wouldn't. Yeah, but the good outweighs your principle is the good outweighs the bad. So this, I'm going to take this medicine, so-called medicine, which is a drug, and I'm going to hope I don't get the side effects. What is that? Basically, making money for the pharmaceutical companies. And they're not going to tell you there's cancer has a cure. You go and look on YouTube. Diabetes, you will cure your diabetes within 3 months if you're disciplined enough. You can cure your cancer. Go have a look at the people who got cancer on YouTube and how they cured themselves with sodium bicarbonate. Why sodium bicarbonate? Because it alkalines the blood, which stops the acid from the fungus from growing in the acid because you've alkalined it, the body. So it's vital that we really take the bull by its horns and do what needs to be done and not become like children and do what we feel like doing until you become sick. And you could become sick and say, I've got flu and 3 days, okay, I'll take 3 days off work and I'll be okay. But that's unnecessary. You don't have to have flu. But it's become such a norm. I've got flu. Soon it's going to be like, I've got cancer. You know. I remember a story. You know, some people are proud to become sick because why? They like the attention. Is that they're seeking approval with it. I remember I was in a Turkish food center, and there was an uncle in front of me looking for yogurt. I said, "Uncle, can I help you?" He said, "I'm looking for yogurt, my son." I said, "Well, uncle," he goes, no, but I want one without potassium sorbate in it because it makes my stomach lemony, like actually, it makes me like acidic. So I found it for him. And then he goes to me, "You know, I've got a heart problem." I felt like saying to him, "Well, congratulations." You know, it's like when the way they say it to you, especially in my community, the Turkish Cypriot community, they like to boast about their illnesses. "Oh, I've got a heart problem. You know, I've got diabetes, you know." It's like saying, what? And it's like they want to cuddle and they want to like some attention. You don't have to have these illnesses. These are post-traditional medicine illnesses because of the society and the packet foods and the processed foods. And I went to a barber's today and the brother's having tea, his breakfast tea and digestive biscuits. Now, don't get me wrong. The best biscuit out there is digestive biscuit. And you've got to have five in one. You can't have one. You've got to have five and dob it, you know, you've got to hit it in the teeth. That's the taste of it. But come on. For breakfast, you need protein. You've just gone through like an eight-hour fast. The last time you ate was like 9 o'clock in the morning, in the evening. So you've woken up at Fajr, say like 9 hours later. The body's craving nutrients now. And tea and biscuits, I mean, it doesn't work that way. Do you know that when you get fat and diabetes, you wonder why you've got it? You can't say, "Well, I've got diabetes." It's not a disease that you catch. It's not a virus. You caused it with your irresponsibility and your lack of knowledge. It's prevention. You would never blindfold yourself or your children and tell them to walk across the M1 whenever they feel like it. But that's how we're walking through life. That's how we're living our life, blindfolded. You've got to take responsibility for it. You want to take your son or your daughter and say, "There's a big forest. And I'll meet you, if you go, just I'll meet you on the other side." And it's full of dangers. This is life. So Allah's given the Quran and Sunnah for us to guide ourselves through life. And one of those guidance is nutrients. And it's very, very important. So, first of all, spiritual nourishment. Okay? We have to sort out our prayers, or some of us. If you're not doing in the masjid, try and pray in the masjid as possible. If you're not doing your sunnah, try and increase your sunnah, etc. And then mental nourishment is you are what you read. And in cognitive behavior therapy, in that aspect of psychotherapy, is the principle is you change your thinking to change your behavior. So you are what you read. You are what you eat. You are what you see, what you hear. You are a end result of all those years of input of whether it be nutritional, non-nutritional input, non-nutritional mental input, non-nutritional physical input. Now it's time to change and get into nutritional. And we have it there. We have all the information there in the Quran and Sunnah. And from the dunya knowledge in health. But we don't utilize it. Because what? We think we know it all. We think we know everything. That's just an old wives' tale. Tap water, for example. Tap water. We've got about 10 minutes before we stop, inshallah. Who drinks tap water? Well, let me edumacate you, as they say. Tap water, as I said earlier on, is a collection of every kind of liquid, wherever they can, even the sewage, etc. And they filter it, add the chemicals, and sell it to you for 20,000% profit. Yeah, but it's clean. Is it? Don't do your own research. If you distill 3 liters of tap water, you will end up with half to three quarters of a glass of yellow liquid. And that's someone else's wee. I've got to be blunt with you. Or feces, and all that stuff is in there. But because you can't see it, doesn't mean it's not in there. They can't filter it absolutely 100%. Yeah, they can't filter 100%. If they could, they wouldn't put all those chemicals in it. Potassium permanganate and sodium fluoride and bleach.
But they can't dig a well in this country to take the natural.
Good point. It's the Queen's land. She would never let you to do that. But you buy bottled water. Oh, what about the plastic and the BPA? Well, I would rather have that because then I can counteract the effects of BPA through my diet. But I'm not going to drink someone else's wee-wee or cook with it. But what about filtering it? Well, if they can't filter it completely, then how are you going to do it? And if you boil it, you're only reducing the content, and what's evaporated is what's evaporated. What's left is still that. All you're doing is killing the bacteria, but it's still there. It's still there. And you can buy water now. I mean, even Highland Spring is good water. It's taken from Scottish organic land, you know. Evian is a bit expensive, but bottled water is good for you. If you find like Evian and Turkish water, it's over 8.2 pH value, which is alkaline. Coconut water for drinking, for example. And I know none of us here drink more than 2 litres of water a day. Hardly even half a litre. Hardly 2 glasses. So you're always dehydrated. Always dry here, always getting headaches, always feeling tired. And don't mistake tiredness for, you know, being tired. It's not. You're dehydrated most of the time. You're not taking enough hydration. And coconut water hydrates you immediately. It contains, because when you sweat or you exercise, you lose electrolytes like magnesium, potassium, sodium. Once you get dehydrated, why do they give you a drip and not just give you water? It's not sufficient. They give you a drip of sodium, potassium, of electrolytes to balance out the body sugar. Now, do you know you can kill yourself with drinking too much water? Because it over dilutes the electrolytes in the blood. People have died from this. So it's about a balance. And that's with everything in our deen. It's a balance. Coconut water has the same constituency as your plasma in your blood. And they used to use it as a drip. They can use that as a drip, naturally. So incorporate that in your diet. 2 litres of coconut water a week, you know, 2 litres of green juice a week, you know. Carbohydrate, if you're not training and your job is not physical aspect, your body's not really, it needs to do the physical work. And the food, I will guarantee the food you're eating is overeating, too much carbs. You don't need that many carbs. If you are doing a physical labor or you're training as well and all that, then you need carbs, obviously you need the energy for it. But all we're doing is just eating, getting sick or getting fat. That's it. There's no gray area here in this point. Because if it comes out in the loo, you know, if your feces and defecation, all that, that's the extraction. But then what's being taken out, you just put in, it's just fat, excess fat, unnecessary. So prayers, exercise, nutrition, you know, taking care of your heart, for example, sleeping. I don't mean sleeping 12 hours, but how many of us here get 8 hours? I don't. Maybe once, maybe a couple of weeks, I might get 8 hours or 9 hours, and then I feel guilty. And 5 hours is enough for me, from personally, 5 or 6 hours, as long as I don't wake up. So I wake up once or twice, then I'm a bit, and I wake up like this sort of thing. So to the whole point of today, what you can take away, yeah, is self-responsibility, self-accountability. You know, one of the things that Allah will ask us on Day of Judgment before we move an inch, we're going to move an inch this way or anywhere until we answer 5 things, is our youth and how we spent it, our health and how we took care of our bodies, how we took care of our wealth, how we, was it halal or haram, did we disseminate knowledge, how we got it, etc., etc. As what Rasulullah said. But we just, it's like, you know, we shouldn't be like leaves in the wind, you know, in the tree, where the wind blows this way and we blow that way. When the wind blows this way, we blow that way. Until somebody comes up and says, bro, come on, shake you up a bit. Oh, thanks, bro, I needed that. Then you go back to be a leaf again in the wind. You know, we have to take responsibility, you know, for ourselves first, our family, community, and the ummah. But we can't say, right, I'm taking care of myself first. You know, deen is comprehensive. You take care of yourself, your family, the community, and the ummah, as much as you can. And I'm sure most of us now can do much more for ourselves, health-wise, spiritual-wise, our families, health-wise, spiritual-wise, and community and ummah, than we are doing now. Much more. Much more. you know, being moderate in eating, being moderate in eating your food, as I mentioned. And there's a we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said that you eat a third food, third of water and third for air. And there's a good story about that, and I always tell this story. In 2004, I was in Etikaf, and there was brothers eating, and we were just talking. And one brother was telling a story that he was somewhere before, and there was another gathering of eating. One brother was a big brother, mashallah, and he was eating. And one brother said to him, "Brother, don't you know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam where you have to have a third for food, your stomach, third for food, third for air, and third for drink?" And a brother turned and said, "Yes. My third is different than yours, though." So here we understand two things. One, that when we disseminate knowledge, the person that hears it may know the fiqh and the understanding of it more than you do. Yeah. And secondly, that we have to take the hadith in literally as in consideration that not to eat too much. Not to eat too much. You know, the mu'min eats with one stomach and the non-believer in seven stomachs. Now it's like the other way around. You've got these health fanatics out there who are non-Muslim, and then a Muslim is just eating from seven stomachs. You know? A big burger joint here, the biggest burger competitions. It just doesn't make sense. There's a lot of diseases out there that we can get just from and also I would say the other way around. There's a lot of diseases out there we can prevent diseases from nutrition. In the same way that if we don't get nourished enough, we open ourselves up for the kill. We get all sorts of different, and diabetes and cholesterol and IBS are not things that you catch. They say it's a disease. It's not a disease. It's a dis-ease, but it's not a disease. It's because we have a lack of knowledge, and it can be cured. You can if you degenerate, you can regenerate. Unless you've got no pancreas at all, and you've got type 1 and you have to inject yourself. There's different types, obviously. But generally speaking, we don't have to have the main diabetic problem, which is type 2 diabetes. We don't have to have that. We don't have to have a cholesterol problem. We don't have to have IBS and things, stomach problems. If you've got a stomach problem, it's because of diet. It's because of nutrition. Or lack of nutrition. Detoxing, for example. You know, exercising, sweating, going to a sauna, sweating is a detox through your skin. Hijama, which we'll talk about after Asr as well, is a detox. It's one of the best detox known to man. It's vital. Exercise is a detox. You can use nutrition as a detox. You know, you don't have to exercise, for example. I'll give you an example here. That you can use, diet can be used to shape your body. Everyone has what they call an Adonis self, as you're created in your muscular form, whatever muscle you have. Can be, you know, you could look good if you check your diet. And you can get cut up and have a six-pack and whatever that everyone's chasing for by a diet alone. But that's, you don't have to know how to shock the body. If you know how to do dieting and nutrition, you can shock the body. And everyone's individual. Once you get on this path of nutrition or that, you will learn how to do this and things like that. For example, if you're on a healthy diet for about 3 months, then you go on like a few days of just garbage, you know, of junk. That's shocking the body. Then come back onto nutrition. Then the body will just adjust itself and start losing weight. Coconut oil will lose weight. Cinnamon will make you lose weight. Apple cider vinegar will make you lose weight. Not eating the wrong foods will make you lose weight. And it's vital. You know, it's vital. And I end up with I end on this point, beginning of this topic is, and eat of the good things which we provided for you. Eat of what is lawful and wholesome on the earth. And I don't think a nice $9.95 mega burger is wholesome. I like a burger, you know, but the reason I'm saying it, whatever I tell you to do, I still have my treats. But I'm just trying to that make your life 95%, you know, healthy. And then you can treat yourself now and again. You don't have to treat yourself. It's unnecessary. But if you want to, then you can say, okay, I'm going to have a burger because I haven't had one for like 3 months, 4 months, for example. You know, wholesome foods, organic foods. Oh, organic foods expensive. Not really. Not really. Because how much of vegetables do you eat every single day? 3 or 4 times a week. So buy the organic stuff. And if it's too much and he's going to leave it and get bad, for example, a packet of organic kale, a packet of spinach, etc., things like this, it's a lot. But if you juice it all, like I said, you make 1.5, 2 litres of juice. And you can finish that within a few days, a glass or two a day. And you get healthy at the same time. And let's stop there, inshallah, for Asr.